Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here on this Thursday. It's the month of September here on Fantasy Sports Today. So that means it's officially football season. College football begins tonight. The NFL 1 week from today. Davis, great to be back with you here on the show. Today, our fantasy football preview, the team preview today is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Lots of fantasy goodness on that team. Can't wait to get into it as well. And boy, I'll tell you, college football back tonight, looking at the score, looking at the spreads and the possibilities of some of these games, just warms my heart. I'm ready to go here on the show today.
You know, I do. I feel very warm. It's still very hot outside, so, you know, it doesn't exactly feel like football season when it's 95 degrees outside. But I did notice when I went outside on the porch with my dogs this morning to drink the coffee, it was a little crisper. You know, it's a little bit chillier in the morning, a little bit chillier in the evening. I'm starting to get those warm fuzzies of that Saturday morning. I mean, just absolutely cannot wait. College football season, pro football, we are 7 days away from Rams, Bills kicking off the NFL season. Craig, I'm happier than a pig in slop right now. It's the best time of the year.
Let's kick it off with our headlines here on the show. Huge contract for Russell Wilson, which we're going to get to here with the Denver Broncos. Boy, are they banking on a revamped team here and a potential playoff team. I hope they're right. But college football, as we mentioned, kicks off tonight. 5 years, 245 for Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson is looking at this thing going, all right, you guys got a week to get it done or else I'm gone in 2 years. Serena Williams, wow, will she go out a winner? Maybe possible. My gosh, she's playing fantastic right now at the U.S. Open. She wins again. And unfortunately, White Sox manager Tony La Russa out indefinitely with an unspecified medical issue. Who knows if he'll even be back this year. Also, Gunnar Henderson in his first appearance yesterday with the Orioles, Davis, the go-go Orioles. He hits a home run. Unbelievable story that Orioles are this year. All right, let's start with Russell Wilson here. So I am not going to be as bullish on Wilson as some others. I think he's headed to the Hall of Fame, no question. I think that if he didn't play another game, he'd be headed to the Hall of Fame. But there's just something about Denver for me that just isn't 100% a believer. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the last few years of watching that team play. I think he's going to be very good. I just don't know that his best days are still ahead of him. I think they're behind him. But look, Denver, he'll be better than 25 other quarterbacks, 20 other quarterbacks for the next few years. I think they just probably had to do it.
Which I think is probably the bet they're making. I mean, I think maybe even rightfully they look at this roster. They're like, we got Judy, we got Sutton, we got Hamler, we got Albert O, we got Dulcich. We have this defense with all of these, you know, all pros. We have a good edge rusher. We have good cornerbacks. We cannot, and this is real. I mean, this has literally been true since the Peyton Manning wounded duck season. They've pretty much had a Super Bowl quality roster, right? A roster you could look at and say, if they had, I mean, even like Kirk Cousins, right? If Russell Wilson can do a 2021 Kirk Cousins impression, maybe turns the ball over a little bit more. He's going to be entering into his age 33 season. I have him projected for 185 rushing yards, which would be right about what he did last season. You know, kind of lost that element of his game. I don't even think it matters. I honestly think they are probably good enough. I think the biggest issue they are going to have is they got to beat the Chargers twice. They got to try and beat the Chiefs. Right. Like, I don't think they win the division, honestly, because those teams are so good. And that is, you know, I mean, what can you do about that when you're in the toughest division in football? But you could see Russell Wilson playing well, no major injuries, and this Broncos team still maybe not even making the playoffs, which is going to be, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow for sure.
I think there's a chance of that happening. I think there's a chance the Raiders are better than the Broncos. I really do. I don't know. Something not right for me yet, but again, late season, we'll figure that out. Denver, by the way, fantastic in the early part of every NFL season. You could just book them down for a winning record in the first month of the year. Anything also, by the way, before we get to the Vikings, anything fantasy football related in the last 24 hours since we last met that you think was relevant as far as a signing or a cut? I don't think we talked about Sony Michel going to the Chargers. So now we're penciling him in as the backup to Eckler for sure. I would guess I'm not going to sign him without that. Was there anything else that we missed yesterday?
I mean, they did cut Amir Smith-Marset and trade a conditional fourth round pick for Jalen Reagor. Of course, very famously, you know, Jalen Reagor was selected over Justin Jefferson, but they also had Olabisi Johnson, who if you really use your memory, you can remember was starting over Justin Jefferson when Justin Jefferson was first drafted. He got placed on season-ending IR. So they have KJ Osborne, they have Justin Jefferson, they had Adam Thielen. Irv Smith Jr., that was reported yesterday, might not be good to go week one for conditioning reasons, or if he does play, it might be in a rotation because he has not been a full participant in practice due to injury. I don't know. I thought Jalen Reagor was so good at TCU. I would not be surprised to see one, I would not be surprised to see Jalen Reagor be the team's primary punt and kick returner, which is going to guarantee that he is active on game days. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we're sitting here week eight, it's a Tuesday, we're doing our waiver wire show. I would not be surprised if we mention Jalen Rager's name a couple times.
I think he's probably the one I'm the most wrong on in the last 10 years.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
In college football, I really do think so. You're right, Davis. Playing on two completely inept teams at TCU, he against competitive teams in college football, he was by far the biggest star in all those games that he played in. Against good teams, he was the guy. It was it's incredible to see how bad he turned out. But regardless, you're right. We'll see if Minnesota can turn him around. Speaking of that, Vikings up next. Our fantasy football preview continues here on FFT right after this break. Go ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Our fantasy football team previews on Sports Grid continue here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Today, we look at the average draft position in the National Fantasy Football Championships of the Minnesota Vikings. So those of you who are getting ready to draft this weekend, hopefully this can help you out. We preview one team each day all the way up until the beginning of the regular season, which is 1 week from today. So, Davis, a broad view of the Vikings, and then we'll get to the ADP. Tons of really valuable players in fantasy football on the Minnesota Vikings for sure. Mike Zimmer is out. They have a new head coach there. I'm not really sure what to expect, but I can tell you that they're going to have three or four players without a doubt in the top 50, and maybe even more if things break right for them this season.
I mean, they are probably one of the more interesting teams from a fantasy football perspective because they are basically the most concentrated offense in football, right? Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson are top eight picks in fantasy football. They are the only team with two players that goes in the first round. You don't see that. You don't see that all that often. And then their quarterback goes very cheaply. Irv Smith goes relatively cheaply. Adam Thielen is a seventh round selection. And also just fascinating if they stop playing boomer ball, right? You know, Mike Zimmer was one of the biggest boomers at head coach in the NFL, loved to run the ball, did not love to go for it on fourth down, played that very conservative offensive style. And Kevin O'Connell is sort of an interesting mix of those two things because he is part of the Sean McVay coaching tree. He was the offensive coordinator after Sean McVay left Washington. He was employed with Washington when Sean McVay was there. And then he was also the offensive coordinator for the Rams in 2020 and 2021. Now he is departed head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. So we would anticipate, you know, a lot of 11 personnel. That's what the McVay tree does, which fits with what the Vikings have. You play the three wide receivers, KJ Osborne, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. Don't think we will see a ton of two tight end personnel. Definitely don't think we're going to see a ton of Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison on the field together, but we anticipate the Vikings being a little bit more pass heavy than in years past, which is really interesting.
All right. So let's take a look at the average draft position of the Vikings going into your upcoming weekend draft. Kirk Cousins is dialed in at about 120-121 in his average draft position. Dalvin Cook is a first round pick. Alexander Mattison is checking in around the 11th round. Justin Jefferson, also a first-round pick. Adam Thielen falls back this season to a sixth-round pick. And then Irv Smith is not really being drafted to start at tight end in any fantasy football league. We'll talk about him coming up in a bit. Let's get to Kirk Cousins. Davis, who threw for 4,000 yards last year, 33 touchdowns. Essentially, he is a fantastic super flex quarterback. For those of you who don't know, that's teams that start or leagues that start two quarterbacks. To have him as your number one super flex is fantastic. You know, more or less a bye week fill-in guy, but absolutely over the course of this season is going to help somebody win a week in a fantasy league. It's just, I guess the question is how long can he continue to do this for? Do you see any drop back for him, or do you think this is pretty much right where he's going to be again?
I think that's pretty much right where he's going to be again, especially with the addition of the new head coach. You know, I think that he is going to be fighting against the current a little bit less as a quarterback. And I mean, Kirk Cousins has been a very good fantasy quarterback. 2015 through 2017, he was the sixth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football. Now, obviously, that was before the introduction of Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance. So the landscape of quarterback has definitely changed since 2017. But even the last 2 years, with all of that, he's been a top 12 quarterback in fantasy football. He has thrown for over 4,000 yards in each of the last two seasons, 35 touchdowns the year before, 33 touchdowns the year before that. And I mean, look at who he's throwing to, right? I mean, he's throwing to Justin Jefferson, maybe the best wide receiver in football. I mean, can Justin Jefferson have a 2,000-yard season? Can Justin Jefferson score 17 receiving touchdowns? I mean, to my mind, he absolutely can. Dalvin Cook, a good receiving running back. Adam Thielen, I mean, one of the best touchdown producers at the wide receiver position, assuming we don't see a decline in athleticism there. KJ Osborne, pretty solid third wide receiver, you have to say. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons to be pretty bullish on him. Exactly what you're talking about. Super flex scenarios, maybe 14-team leagues. I don't know if I would draft Cousins as a starter simply because I want to have a guy who can run a little bit. You know, I would prefer it's like I think Brady's great. I think Brady's going to finish as a top 10 quarterback this season, but very rarely am I going into my drafts taking him, right, taking Russell Wilson, taking Derek Carr. But I think he's a good option.
Okay. Fine. Fair enough. I think too. And I think that he'll end up starting for somebody over the course of a season. Some quarterback will get hurt. It's football. It happens. All right. So speaking of hurt, Dalvin Cook, that's been his story the last few years, but certainly when he's on the field, you know, and the way I like to describe Dalvin Cook, Davis, is that when I'm playing against Dalvin Cook and I don't have him in fantasy and I know he's fully healthy, I'm worried. I'm worried going into that week because I know he's going to have a good game. Over 1,000 yards last year and 6 rushing touchdowns. Another top 10 pick for Dalvin Cook. But my guess is, Davis, that this may be the last time we see Dalvin Cook go in the top 10. It just kind of feels like this is the trajectory for running backs. They get their 3-4 strong years, but no reason why he can't do it again this year, I guess. Health for me is always, you know, clearly the thing with Cook.
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook did miss 4 games last year. 2 of them were that recurring shoulder injury. I remember we talked about this a lot last offseason, yeah, where basically, you know, the fantasy doctors out there are like, look, this is a shoulder injury that is going to reoccur unless you get this surgically repaired. And surgically repairing it makes it weaker, but I guess makes it less likely to get disconnected. So I do think that Dalvin Cook, I mean, I love him where he goes, basically. You know, I think that he is a really strong selection. Last season, he was effective as ever on the ground, only played in the 13 games, 1,200 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, did stay strong in the passing game. And you know, remember those Todd Gurley seasons with Kevin O'Connell as his offensive coordinator, just crushed, right? Just absolutely crushed via catching the ball. And if Dalvin Cook gets to 60 receptions, I mean, he could finish as the number one overall running back, you know, assuming CMC gets hurt or whatever.
Yep, makes sense. But I will tell you this, there isn't a better handcuff in fantasy football than Alexander Mattison. He is probably the only player, Davis, that I consider in fantasy football a must handcuff for the other running back. I don't see it that way with any team. But with him, I don't know, Davis. I don't know how you can draft Dalvin Cook going in and not take Mattison later on and have somebody else take him from you, because essentially he's the best replacement for any running back in the NFL. Now, was he fantastic when Cook has gone down? No, he's been better actually when Cook has been in there, but he's been basically the number one fantasy football backup, straight backup, for the last couple of years. I found it interesting that he was involved in some trade stuff, you know, this training camp. I didn't expect that, but it looks like he's back with them, right?
Yeah, well, he did. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, I think, rightfully don't want to pay Mattison what he thinks he's worth. I think his argument would be, look, when Dalvin Cook is out, I absolutely crush. You know, I basically guarantee you 115 yards and a touchdown. When you start me, there's not really any difference, which I mean, to your point, there really is not any difference between Mattison and when they play. Mattison has been phenomenal. And yeah, they don't, I mean, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. He's going to say, give me the contract that Chase Edmonds just got, you know, $6 million yep, guaranteed per year. I think he deserves that contract, and the Vikings, rather than have to enter into those negotiations with him, just try to trade him, get something for him. Seems like, it didn't happen, but, I mean, Mattison is one of my favorite guys in drafts where I'm doing kind of a zero running back strategy, because when Dalvin Cook is out, you start him. He's a running back one. No questions asked.
Who is the third running back in Minnesota? There was a guy last year that played a little bit that looked good. Who was that?
They have two different guys.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
They drafted Ty Chandler and they have Kenne and Wongu. Either of them, right, you know, could be valuable. Were an injury to happen ahead of them.
All right, good waiver wire pickups there. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to continue our conversation on the Minnesota Vikings. We head to the wide receiver and tight end position next on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Today, Davis and I are previewing the Minnesota Vikings from a fantasy football perspective, and we went over the quarterback and running backs, but let's take a look at the average draft position for all of the players that you could potentially be taking this weekend in fantasy football, or maybe your draft is next week as well. Kirk Cousins is checking in around the 11th round in fantasy. His ADP is 121. We have Dalvin Cook, another first-round pick for the Vikings this season. Justin Jefferson, of course, one of the top wide receivers in fantasy. We'll get to him in just a sec. And then, of course, Adam Thielen and Irv Smith Jr. is their tight end. And naturally, Davis, there are a lot of people who feel that that Jefferson this season could very well be not only the best wide receiver in fantasy football, but has a chance to grade out statistically and scoring-wise as maybe the number one player in all of fantasy football. Where are you on Jefferson going into this season?
You know, I don't think I can quite get to taking him over Cooper Kupp, but I definitely do think there is a very solid argument, and average draft position agrees with taking him over Ja'Marr Chase. You know, Chase also plays with another absolutely phenomenal wide receiver in T. Higgins. Adam Thielen is a good wide receiver, but I think at this stage in his career is definitely better suited for being a complimentary piece, you know, a guy who helps out, a guy who scores touchdowns, but I don't think, you know, we're imagining a 1,500-yard season for Adam Thielen. And you know, Justin Jefferson basically can do anything. He can play out of the slot. He can run deep routes. He can run hitch routes. There is not anything as a wide receiver that he cannot do. And I do think that, you know, the changes to this offense are likely going to be beneficial to him. If the Vikings go from being a below league average pass rate over expected team to an above league average pass rate over expected team, that could be 20, 25, 30 more targets for Justin Jefferson. I totally think there is a world where Justin Jefferson leads the league in targets, leads the league in yards, leads the league in receiving touchdowns. You know, obviously, I don't think that's the most probable world. I think Cooper Kupp is likely to lead the NFL in all of those categories. But if you came to me with the idea that Justin Jefferson's got to be the second overall pick, you know, you're taking him over Kupp, you're taking him over Jonathan Taylor. No, I'm not gonna push back against that idea. And anytime I take Justin Jefferson, I feel very happy about it.
All right. So look, I think Jefferson, first round pick, not a lot to say. I think it's just a matter of who you prefer in the spot that Jefferson gets picked. Now, in years past, Davis, the receiver that was going ahead of everyone in fantasy was Adam Thielen. I mean, he was like a borderline second round pick in fantasy for a number of years, but obviously he's a year older. And you would think that based on his ADP sort of going at a discount from where he's gone in years past, I don't recall the last few years him going lower. This low, sixth round pick, ADP of 70 overall, and essentially not even a top 20 wide receiver anymore. But I suppose there's a case to be made that with all the attention Jefferson gets, that maybe Thielen just bounces back, gets his, I don't know, 1,200 yards and 12, 13 touchdowns again. Is that in the range of outcomes for you with him?
Thielen's not really a guy that I feel comfortable taking. Entering into his age 32 season, he has not had a 1,000-yard season since 2018. He only played 10 games in 2019, only played 13 games last year. His fantasy value, and I mean, touchdowns are very important, right? We love to get touchdowns. We love that, you know, we love Mike Evans. We love Derrick Henry. We love these guys who just absolutely pile up the touchdowns. But 14 touchdowns in 2020, 10 touchdowns in 13 games last year. that has really been what has sustained his fantasy value while playing with Justin Jefferson. You know, they get to the red zone and it's Adam Thielen time. And certainly I could see an argument that Adam Thielen owns that skill set, right? You know, that's the old, I can't remember if it was Bill James or Ron Chandler, but they say, you know, once you display that skill set, you own that skill set until you give us a reason to believe otherwise. So I totally believe that Adam Thielen would score more touchdowns than the average wide receiver on a given target. However, Irv Smith Jr., you know, they've really kind of been waiting for him to develop. They're going to run a lot on the goal line because they have Dalvin Cook. And also, I mean, I just would believe if Adam Thielen is really good at this skill set, I would also believe Justin Jefferson's probably really good at that skill set. And Justin Jefferson has not really earned a ton of red zone targets relative to what you would expect a receiver of his capability. For example, over the last two seasons, Thielen actually has 7 more touchdowns than Justin Jefferson does. You would probably expect that over time, Jefferson would score more than Thielen. And looking at where Thielen goes, he goes over Elijah Moore. He goes over Brandon Ayuk. These guys who have, I mean, they have way lower floors, right? I mean, Elijah Moore, you could just never want to start him. But Elijah Moore could also be like the guy you had to take in the 6th round of your draft. So I don't find myself taking Thielen a ton. I don't think he's a bad pick, just not a guy I'm like super interested in taking, because he can't be a top 12 wide receiver, right? That's just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, an injury would have to happen. 2 injuries may have to happen. So I really liked Irv Smith in college, and I know the Vikings really liked him too. I mean, they let Kyle Rudolph walk. But I mean, is he the answer at tight end? You know, for the Vikings, I'm just not really sure. I know Cousins in the past in Washington and even early on in Minnesota liked targeting the tight end. But does Irv Smith Jr. make that leap into a potential starter in fantasy football? The ADP right now, Davis, is telling you the answer is no to that.
Yeah, I mean, the deal with Irv Smith is he basically just has not played, right? He just has been injured. So they draft him 50th overall, 2nd round. He actually does stay healthy his entire rookie year, but is not able to earn a ton of targets. You know, he only gets 47 targets as a rookie. And then in 2020, he gets hurt again. Also doesn't really earn a ton of targets that season, you know, kind of splitting time with Kyle Rudolph, plays in 13 games, but actually earns fewer targets in his second season than he does as a rookie. Last season, he gets injured right before the start of the year, ends up spending the entire year on IR. Now, 7 touchdowns on 90 career targets is pretty solid. That's an above average rate for a tight end. If he can, you know, if he gets 90 targets this year and returns you 7 or 8 touchdowns, you're basically slam dunking him where he goes. I think the reason to be interested in him would basically be, who do you think is going to be more productive in this offense, KJ Osborne or Irv Smith Jr.? Look at some of the tight ends that have had success in the McVay offense, Tyler Higbee, Jared Cook. You know, some of these guys have been really successful operating as the de facto third wide receiver. And I buy, you know, Irv is younger, he's more athletic. Maybe he's a red zone beneficiary if Adam Thielen ends up really slowing down as he enters into his age 32 season. But very similar to Thielen, looking at where Irv Smith Jr. goes, I prefer Alberto Kuibunum, who plays for the Broncos. I prefer Hunter Henry for the Patriots, Tyler Higbee for the Rams. You know, he's like a guy I look at and I'm like, I guess it would be fine to take him, but I'm not ever like rushing to the clock, because I don't, there's like no world to me where Irv Smith Jr., unless he's just great and we don't know, earns 100 right targets, you know, in year 4.
Yeah, great in college. I thought there'd be more of a progression. Let's circle back here to KJ Osborne for a minute. I glossed over him. 7 touchdowns last season, essentially not being drafted in the top 200. There are very few teams that have room enough for 3 wide receivers. And naturally, I mean, I just can't see Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne, and Irv Smith all having viable fantasy seasons. But I guess maybe I'm wrong. If what you said ends up being accurate, where Eberflus, right? Is that, wait, who's the coach of Minnesota again? Who's the coach?
Kevin O'Connell.
O'Connell. Eberflus went to Chicago. If O'Connell ends up in this high-flying offense, then maybe there are 45 touchdowns to go around. But Osborne was like a stunning, almost viable starter at the end of last year.
Yeah, I mean, he you know, he was playing a lot last year. Like, I feel like maybe there's kind of this narrative that they brought him on slowly and he wasn't a full-time player. I mean, he ended the season playing over 80% of the snaps in all of their final seven games. Now, again, to be fair to the KJ Osborne drafters, absolutely crushed in those snaps. He scored 6 touchdowns over the final 6 games of the season. No 100-yard receiving games, which I would guess is kind of what you would be anticipating from him this year. The big yardage totals probably won't be there. Maybe even kind of similar to what Van Jefferson was doing in the similar offense last year with the Rams, where it's like you never really felt that comfortable starting him. But, you know, every other week it's like, oh, there goes Van Jefferson, 44-yard touchdown, while the defense is all worried about Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham or Robert Woods. I mean, again, just not a guy. I guess maybe I should be more interested in him if I'm not interested in Thielen, right? Because I feel like there's a really good season there for one of them. And if Thielen does take a step back because of age, then maybe we're feeling better about Osborne. But also, you know, he's a 5th-round pick. It's like, yeah, he's probably fine, but again, not a guy I'm ever like rushing to draft, essentially.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Any names we did not mention on the Vikings? Boy, I feel like we hit everyone on this team. Is there anyone we missed? I guess Rager in a 15-team league of some kind, stash and hope. Is there anyone else?
I mean, that would be the guy, right? It'd be like, you know, Philly just – and Philly has messed up the development of a lot of wide receivers, right? I mean, over the years – J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, they take high. Jordan Matthews, like all, they've taken a lot of these guys and they just haven't developed. So maybe you just say it's the Eagles' fault. Rager's actually still the guy he was as a prospect. The Vikings have done the opposite, right? The Vikings take these guys, Adam Thielen, K.J., like, and they just turn into stars in that system. So maybe it's an organizational thing. Maybe Rager is in like a 16-team league, a good kind of pickup.
Yeah, I mean, Stephon Diggs was a star in Minnesota too before they moved on from him as well. All right, coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality reminder. We previewing one team every day here on the show. We got another one coming up tomorrow. We may run a little short on time since the season begins next week. If so, we'll double up on a couple of teams. But I know a lot of you are drafting this weekend anyway. If you want to go back, check out our YouTube page or go to sportsgrid.com. We're archiving.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
All of our discussions over there in terms of our previews. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you who are on social media, you want to follow us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information. The picks against the spread. It's college football season. Nationally tonight, we'll have in-game live, all access, lots of coverage of tonight's games. And of course, very excited, Davis and I, as well as everybody else here at SportsGrid. We made it. The football season is here. It is September. Davis, boy, this quote here for on Kenny Golladay of the New York Giants, you don't see this kind of slander for any player in the NFL, but the quote is in terms of analysis, running like a stiffness of a mannequin for Kenny Golladay, who was running down the field with Matthew Stafford in Detroit. What has happened to him? My gosh.
Well, I mean, he pretty clearly got his 4-year, $72 million contract, showed up at the Meadowlands and was like, these guys stink, right? Daniel Jones stinks. Joe Judge stinks. My teammates, they stink. And he's just like, I don't care, you know? And look, I mean, I can't blame him. I guarantee you give me $72 million guaranteed. And it's going to be hard for me to give it my all at work every day if the team stinks. Now, if the Giants were really good, if Kenny Golladay got traded to the Rams or something, I think he would show up best shape of his life. Guy would be looking like Usain Bolt out there, you know? So I do think it's kind of one of those circumstances, but the Giants are going to be in a tricky spot for this, you know, new Brian Daboll offense, because Tony has a leg injury. Galladay, the aforementioned mannequin. Wandale weighs like 175 pounds. He's been the only bright spot of the receivers in training camp. Darius Slayton still might get cut at this point. Sterling Shepard coming back from this Achilles tear. And then David Sills and Richie James. Like, right, Ricky Seals-Jones on the IR. Like, it just, it might be a tough watch, the Giants, the first couple weeks of the season.
Sterling Shepard, maybe the only one I'm interested in my draft this weekend. All right, it's time for us to kick it with some fantasy or reality. It's nothing like having college football back on a Thursday night. There are some pretty good matchups tonight, Davis, and one of them is going to start in the Big Ten. And if, in that Nebraska's game last week, of course, a game against Northwestern is any indication, the Big Ten could be close this season. Will there be a close game tonight? We'll see. The spread certainly indicates that, as the Nittany Lions are on the road taking on Purdue, and they are 3.5-point favorites in this game. Our first discussion of football with the spread. Penn State will win and cover tonight at Purdue. Fantasy or reality, Davis?
I guess I'll go reality. You know, they have the institutional memory in there. Feels like the 19th season in a row that Sean Clifford is going to be starting at quarterback for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Like, he stinks. He's not really that good. I remember the quote from Ron Rivera when they were talking about Jahan Dotson. They were like, you know, Ron Rivera said something to the effect of like, you know, bless Sean Clifford's heart, but we think that Jahan Dotson was maybe held back by the quarterback play at Penn State. But, you know, Purdue, again, it's not like they have this barn-burning offense either. You probably agree with me on this. Big Ten, the worst, right? The worst. College football conference. No one, like a Michigan game, it's like, it stinks. It's not what I would rather watch, like, two air raid offenses in the Mountain West play each other, or like a Tuesday night MAC game, than most Big Ten games. It's not the type of football that I like. And I know some people really like it, you know, defense and running the ball and heart and grit and stuff, but that's not why I watch football, for sure.
Yeah, no, look, Michigan-Ohio State is always a really good showdown, and Ohio State is sort of misconferenced playing in this conference because they certainly don't play like that, Davis, no doubt. And by the way, I would say, every once in a while, Davis, Wisconsin is pretty good. You know, they have Russell Wilson every once in a while. They have a good quarterback every once in a while. Yeah, it's not the worst, but in general, you're right. So Purdue is going to win a big game this season, and they're going to cover Thursday night football. You know, tends to be a little dicey, especially with the home dogs on Thursday night. But usually when that's like the single slate, we have so many games tonight. I don't know if I can keep up with all of these tonight. I never take favorites. It's not who I am. But I think I will do it just for tonight. I think I will do it. I'll take Penn State minus the points and just hope for the best. But, Davis, this is probably not going to be on my schedule tonight. I don't think so. So, let's go back to the NFL. Davis, last year, I'll tell you, did make a really good call very early on. Trey Sermon being a complete bust. Boy, you were right on that one, Davis. They cut him yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers. And this is despite the 49ers a month ago, the reporters saying that Trey Sermon looked better than anybody else. Remember that? Wow, that wasn't that long ago. Sermon was a beast in college. I don't know what happened here, honestly, but Mike McDaniel didn't like him. He's gone. New offensive coordinator in San Francisco. He don't like him either. Fantasy reality, Trey Sermon will start a game for an NFL team this upcoming season, Davis. Is that fantasy or reality?
Well, remember that Trey Sermon played once upon a time for my Oklahoma Sooners and transferred because it became clear that he was not going to be in the team's plans. He got outproduced by Kennedy Brooks, undrafted free agent, who I think just got cut yesterday by the Philadelphia Eagles. Ramondre Stevenson, who was suspended to start his college football career due to a couple failed drug tests. Ramondre does like to smoke some weed, and the Sooners banned him for that. And then once he fell behind those two guys, he transferred to Ohio State. And I do wonder if Sermon is one of the all-time cautionary tales of why you should not draft a guy who ends on bowl season really hot. Because for a huge chunk of his final season at Ohio State, he was splitting time with Master Teague. Master Teague got hurt. I honestly bet the reason why the 49ers and Shanahan drafted him was his 29-carry, 330-yard, two-touchdown game against Northwestern right at the end of his college football career. But I got fantasy here. Not only do I not think that he won't start an NFL game this season, I will just go on the record. I don't think Trey Sermon starts an NFL game ever. Now, I do think he will get claimed. The Falcons could claim him. The Buccaneers could claim him, right? They have a bunch of guys who they don't have that much faith in. The Cowboys could claim him. Feels like kind of a Cowboys claim. They don't really have a third running back. And Jerry Jones loves to have guys on the roster who he watched play in college. That's like one of his big things. But I just think Sermon stinks. I mean, he didn't make the team over undrafted free agent Jordan Mason. The 49ers kept five running backs. How many teams keep five running backs? I would guess, without having my sheet up right now, I would guess the 49ers are the only team that kept five running backs, and Sermon was not one of them. So I got fantasy here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you have fantasy here for this, given the nature of the injuries in the NFL and these retread running backs that we see starting in the NFL. I mean, Carlos Hyde kicks around for several years. Kalen Ballage is starting games last year. I got reality. I got somebody picking him up and him starting a game for sure. I mean, not because he's good, but just because the attrition that happens in the NFL. And when a player gets drafted this high, he usually gets another opportunity. I'm not sure where that will be, Davis. I think you illustrated a few possible ones. I think Sermon gets signed today before the end of the day. And I think before the end of the season, he gets a start. I mean, Kalen Ballage starting games, Davis. You're telling me that this guy can't get one start in the NFL? I think it happens this year. So I got reality with Trey Sermon. What? I mean, crazy. You could be drafted this high and look this good coming out of college and not play at all. Stunning. All right, let's move on as we're going to talk fishing here a little bit. I believe this story comes from someone who caught a huge fish. I mean, we're talking, what was it, Brett, 500-pound, 700-pound fish, was it? It was Tom Cruise's son ended up catching this monster fish. I don't know why this is even news, but it came across my timeline yesterday that he was in a battle with a big fish and he ended up catching it. I believe it was like 500 pounds or 700, something insane. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you have caught a 100-pound fish. We're taking the scales down a little bit. I was tempted to even go lower here, but fantasy or reality on this one?
Well, I guess I would have to Google like what the average catfish weighs. I would guess a catfish is like, I don't know, 30 or 40 pounds, but I've never been deep sea fishing, right? Never been fishing out in the ocean. So, you grow up in Kansas, you grow up in the Midwest, like you're going to go fishing. There's no way you escape that experience. Even if you don't like to fish, like you're going to go with your dad or your uncle or your friends, like you will do that experience, but definitely fantasy. I've never caught a 100 pound fish. I've caught some largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, a couple trout, couple catfish, but mostly like bluegills type stuff like that. That's what you get a lot here in the Midwest, like stocked ponds, stocked lakes, you know, things like that. I like fishing, like it's fine, you know, catch and release or whatever. Yeah, but no, never a 100-pound fish.
By the way, it was 301-pound grouper here in Florida. That's what it was. And for me, as much fishing as I've done, not a lot in the last few years. I used to live on the west coast of Florida, where I just was like doing it every day before work. I was going over to the beach. We would go to the pier. And I would say probably like a 50, Davis, you know, like 100. I don't even know if I hit 100, but like, you know, 50, maybe 40, something like that. 100, no, never. Honestly, I don't think close. So I'm going to say no to that. But you're right, Davis. Like, fishing is a really fun pastime. You just have to really be in gear to sit and wait. Like, that's a big part of it. You have to have patience. You have to be dedicated for your entire day, right? Like, you're driving somewhere, you're going out on a boat, you're bringing the food, and it's a lot of fun. It's great, but you have to have patience. You have to be dedicated to it. And you have to be up early in the morning usually too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not it's like not a thing that like jives with the lifestyle that a lot of us live now, right? Going into the office, you're on your phone all the time, you got to be available, you got to answer emails, but it is like it's very nice, it's very relaxing, like meditative. I haven't done it in a while, but like if someone texted me this weekend and was like, "Hey, do you want to go out to Lake X and go sit on a boat for 4 hours and go fish?" I'd be like, "Yeah, no, I'd probably do that." I mean, can we listen to a college football game on the radio? Can we like figure out something there? But I would definitely do it. I mean, honestly, sitting on a lake and watching Oklahoma beat up on whatever loser team they're playing. I don't even know who they're playing this Saturday, but whatever, that Colorado School of Mines team they're playing this weekend. That sounds like a pretty good Saturday afternoon to me.
I thought you were out on Oklahoma. You're back in?
I mean, I'll do what I always do, right? I will watch. I'll be invested. Then when they lose their first game of the season, I'm done. I'm out, right? So that's always the plan. And I will pursue with that plan as I always do. But yeah, they're going to stink.
Yeah, OSU plays tonight, I believe, Oklahoma State. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Yeah, here on the show. When we come back next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60, and then the early line is up next. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire, so stay on the grid for that. As a reminder, for those of you who are drafting in fantasy football this weekend, of course, DailyRoto.com, Davis and the team does a great job helping you get ready for the upcoming season, and you can also watch all of our team preview videos over on SportsGrid.com on our YouTube page as well. We'll be back to wrap it up here on Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes, so stay on the grid, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for us to wrap up our show here for this Thursday, but don't despair. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week with another team preview. Let's turn it over to Davis as he wraps us up with the Sports Grid 60.
Well, today, September 1st, 2022, my former home state of Kansas now has legalized sports betting. All my friends who still live in Kansas City, they're claiming all their offers. They get 100 free bucks here and a free bet there and another, a deposit bonus there. And I'm just, twiddling my thumbs here in the state of Missouri. And I am green with envy. And honestly, any regulators, anyone in the business listening, like these states that are right next door to legal sports betting states are going to be losing some massive, massive revenue. There's talks of the Chiefs and the Royals moving from the Missouri side to the Kansas side so they can do business deals, because it's very good business for them to do that. And I just very much hope that we're not doing this show next year and I'm telling Craig, like, I'm living in the last freaking state in the union that's not going to have legalized sports betting. So I really hope we get that done.
Yeah, no, I do too. Today's the first day, by the way, folks, as we wrap up the show. Those of you who live in the Midwest, first day, of course, sports betting in Kansas, which is really cool as well. Really cool event last night to see Serena Williams win at the U.S. Open. Her odds to win the U.S. Open start off at like 30-1, now 20-1, maybe 15-1 by the time we get through tomorrow. What a scene that would be if she continues this run and maybe even gets into the semis or even finals at the U.S. Open. Definitely give us something to talk about here on Sports Grid. That will do it for the show. Thanks again to LTN, our graphics department, Steve for sure. Thanks to our producer, Brett Levy, for my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Early line is next. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. And then I believe I'm on with Scott Farrell talking some baseball later this afternoon as well. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your college football tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern. Until then, we'll see you.